Be holy.
Be holy is a broadcast ministry of believers dedicated to saving the souls of all men and women.
We teach the words of God that people all over the world may hear the voice of God and obey Him.
God doesn't want to show us His wrath or His anger. He just wants us to repent and be holy.
And after one repents, he or she can be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ, but certainly not before they repent. Listen, we really can't even discuss prayer until one repents. Yes, hell is making its way towards the unrepentant heart, but it is Be Holy's commandment and mission to warn everybody, not to control, to warn.
The Word of God is spirit and it's life. That's why we take the Word of God seriously. We're not using shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We're not trying to trick anyone or change the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all those who are honest and live by truth, they know the truth, they realize that we are telling the truth.
Listen, friend, we've been preaching and teaching for over 20 plus years, and the Lord Jesus is satisfied with our efforts, and we want to keep it that way.
Next on Be Holy.
We're still in Ephesians chapter 4.
Be holy.
All right, listen, I'm gonna try to finish this up today. There are only two verses left in Ephesians chapter 4. I think it's 31 and 32. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 is where we'll start. Yeah. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. I could talk about that for hours, really. Most people say they want to be a believer or they want to be saved. Okay. Well, if you want to believe, if you want to be a believer, first you got to actually believe that he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. You got to believe he's a rewarder. Most people don't even know that God is a rewarder. They think God is some kind of a genie in a bottle or something, but no, he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. No, not haphazardly seek him, but diligently seek him. To where even he came and took away the sins through death on the cross. And then he left gifts when he ascended back up into the spirit. He went back to the spirit. See, God came out of spirit and into this world in flesh and blood. But when he went back to spirit, he left gifts here, and those gifts are actually flesh and blood, which is the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to help equip the people. So if you want to be saved, he left gifts for you to build on and build with, but you have to make sure you have a preacher or a pastor, a teacher, evangelist, prophet, an apostle, who can actually teach you what God says, not make you worship them, but teach you what God says so that you will be equipped and you'll be able to build the body of Christ. Now, if we go back to what the verse 31 said, if you believe that Jesus Christ has taken away the sins of the world through death on the cross, and you repented from sin, and you're waiting for God to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Okay. But until you're filled with the Holy Ghost, do this. Get rid of all bitterness. Get rid of all bitterness and rage. Get rid of all anger. Get rid of harsh words. Get rid of slander. You can't talk about people on social media. You can change. You have a new leaf. You've changed. You have a new body. You have a new nature now. That new nature is righteousness, truly righteous and holy. And so you have to get rid of all these things. And this is enough for you to do for a year, really. A year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, whatever. I mean, once you start, it's going to be forever. Get rid of all bitterness, rage. Get rid of anger. Get rid of harsh words and slander. And get rid of all types of evil behavior. When was the last time you heard that in church? They want you to clap your hands. They want you to pray. They want you to stand. They want you to acknowledge the reading of. They want to do the responsive reading. They want to do the announcement. They want to do all these things. They want you to participate. They want you to participate in tithe giving. They want you to give offerings. They want you to participate in church. They want you to be a part of the choir. They want you to be a part of the praise team. They want you to be in the musician's pit and play the music and the sound. And they want you to be a part of that whole Broadway play. But they never tell you to get rid of the bitterness, all bitterness, not some of it, all of it. Get rid of all bitterness, all rage, all anger, all harsh words, all slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. When was the last time you heard that? This is what the gifts are supposed to teach you. If your pastor's not teaching you this, he's not a gift. If the teachers aren't teaching you this, you don't have a gift. They have to tell you. You have to put away all that bitterness. You have to put away all that. And so verse 32, instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Remember, we talked about that a couple weeks ago. Forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. See how it comes full circle? We started off talking about forgiveness a few weeks ago. It might have been 3 weeks ago. We started talking about forgiveness and how if we don't forgive people, God's not going to forgive us because he forgave us. We should forgive other people. That's what that is. Because God forgave us, we should forgive other people. That's what we're supposed to do. Instead of doing all these other things and doing all that evil, instead of doing that, be kind to one another. Be kind to one another. Be kind to each other and tenderhearted. Feel their pain. Forgiving one another. Just as God through Christ has forgiven you. When have you heard that in church? I'm not trying to expose anybody. I'm just talking about how far church has veered off from the initial point. Church leaders, church in general, church services, choir rehearsals, all these other things have veered off. The choir rehearsals are fine. If you want to get people involved in church, give them something to do during the week. Take them out of where they were. Okay, fine. Let them be in the musician's pit. Fine. Let them work with the sound. Let them wear the ushers. Let them clean the church. Let them clean the restrooms. Let them clean and put designs and develop the bulletins and develop a website for the church. Let them do all of that stuff. But when it all comes down to it, all we're saying is this. Be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God forgave you through Christ. I mean, he had forgiven you. He had forgiven you. He's forgiven you. And so you have to forgive everybody else, especially the believers. You got to believe. You got to forgive them. How is it that God can forgive them and you can't forgive them? There's something wrong with that. If God can forgive, you can forgive because your new nature is like God. Your new nature is truly righteous and holy. Your new nature is that. Your new nature is that. Why is it that the new nature continues to be overshadowed by the sin that people who say they're in church, they said they overcame sin, but they didn't. They're still in sin. How can we be forgiven by God and we still in sin? We still participate in sin. We cannot do that. We got to fight against sin, not each other, against sin. If we fight against sin, we can get each other clean. If we fight against sin. But if we listen, sin goes all the way to what we watch on television, what we listen to on the radio, what we think about. What we read on the internet, what we look at on our phones, what we look at on the computer, what we listen to is music. I mean, everything. It evil will make its way in one way or the other. But if we're fighting to forgive, if we're forgiving each other and we're fighting sin and we're fighting evil, we're on a much better winning side. We have a much better chance at growing the church, because the church will always reiterate what it has learned. The church will always reiterate what it's learned. If we reiterate that we have to give up sin and follow God, period. If that's what we preach, give up sin, then we will have a church that will give up sin. But if we don't talk about giving up sin, the church is going to continue to just smooth over sin. It really doesn't matter. We can sin today and get forgiveness tomorrow and God will forgive us and all that other. And that is not true at all. That's not true at all. If you knowingly get into sin, that tells me one thing. You are not born of God. If I continue to stay in sin and go back to sin, you can say that I'm not born of God. But you got to be willing to say that to yourself. You can't expect the preacher to always say it. You got to be able to say, you know what? We're not right. Or I'm not right, or something I'm doing is not right. I got to change that because God is expecting me to change it. God is expecting me to get rid of all these things, because all of it's under the same thing. No matter what sin it is, it's all under this: bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, you know, and all types of evil behavior. Any sin is all under that. We got to get rid of all sin. And people are saying, Brother Nard, you saying we can't sin? We cannot sin. We can't. And until you start thinking like that, you always will. If you continue to think like that, you always will make excuses as to why you can. Talking about, I'm still human. But the word of God says here, it says that we have a new nature. And our new nature is righteous and holy, truly righteous and holy. And our new nature don't permit sin. Our new nature don't. So what happens is, when you get tired of your new nature, you let your old nature resurrect. And when that old nature, that old man that you used to be, that old woman that you used to be, when they come up and they resurrect, it's hard to get rid of them then, because they're alive again. It was hard enough the first time to put them down. It was hard enough the first time. So now that you've put them down, they're trying to stay up, and they will do anything to stay up. They will do absolutely anything to stay up. But we have to break them down. We have to shut them down. We have to. If we don't shut them down, they'll take over, and then we'll all be lost. We'll all be lost. And we can't afford to lose any more saints. We can't afford to lose any more saints. We've lost so many. They started off with the right mind. They started off wanting to do the right thing. But then they didn't have a gift from God to tell them, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. This is what you have to pay attention to. You have to step away and step away from sin, just like I have to step away from sin. You have to stop sinning, just like I have to stop sinning. We can't sin and still be in God. We cannot do that. If nobody tells them that, they go right back out to where they came from. They feel good for a few weeks. They feel good for a few weeks, but then when it's time for them to get back to what God has said, they can't get back to what God said because they're full of the devil. Remember, the devil only comes in when there's anger. When he finds out that there's anger, he's trying to come in. He's trying to come in there. He's trying to get in there. As soon as he finds out there's anger, he'll get right in. That's how, you know, when marriages get broken up, it's because the wife had an argument with the husband, or had disagreements with the husband, and then she told her girlfriend, and her girlfriend was siding with, yeah, you're right, you're correct. And then all of a sudden, the girlfriend started liking her friend's husband. And then all of a sudden, we have all of this stuff going on simply because somebody had anger. And they used it the wrong way.
Be holy.
Come on, everybody, let's talk about it. Up from the grave.
From the grave, Jesus rose.
All right, listen, let's go back up to verse number 30. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. You bring sorrow to God when you continue in sin. Like you've been forgiven You've been filled with the Holy Ghost, and then you see an opportunity to get back in sin, and then you just go back to sin. That grieves God. That grieves him. That grieves him. That makes him totally upset. That makes him upset with you. Because he's already done everything. I told my wife this the other day. God has done everything for people to be saved. He's done everything that needed to be done for people to be saved. He's done everything. Every last thing. He's done it. There's nothing else that we can do. There's no other foundation to be laid but him. He did it. He did everything that needed to be done so that people could be saved. And then they willingly go back to where their old life was. You know how the scriptures talk about the pig going back to the pig pen? You can clean him. You can dress him up. Listen, you can grab a pig today, clean him up, put perfume on him, dress him up, and you put him in front of that mud or in front of his little pit. Guess where he's going? He will go right back to that pit. He could have been walking around for a month with no mud. But as soon as he see his pit with all the mud in it, guess where he's going? That's where he's going to the mud. He's going back to the mud. And so please don't be a pig. Please don't be a pig. Once you say you're going to believe God and obey God, stay where God is and don't bring grief to him by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own. He's identified you. That's what he did. You are his own. He's identified you. You don't have to go through anybody else's identification. He identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. That's what he did. He guaranteed that you'd be saved on the day of redemption. He guaranteed it. But he won't guarantee you being saved on the day of redemption if we continue to sin. I know it's not fun talking about sin. Trust me, if it were me talking, I'd be talking about something else. But the Spirit always tells me what to say, and I'll try not to ever go beyond what the Spirit says. The Spirit talks about us not bringing grief to God by continuing in sin. And I'm telling you, that is what our problem is. That's what our problem is. We should be able to put away sin. That's what we should be able to do gladly. We should be gladly when we do it, just to be able to do it. Not looking backwards. As we move forward, we don't look backwards. That's what gets you in trouble, looking backwards. When you haven't forgiven, that makes you look backwards. When you haven't really turned your life over to the Lord, you want to look backwards and go back to where you used to be and where you used to go and what you used to do. That's not us. Saints, I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to the sinner. The sinner, I expect them to do whatever they want. I expect them to do as much sin and evil as they can muster. But we as believers, we're supposed to be righteous and not be ashamed of being righteous. Not that we're more righteous than anybody, but that we're righteous because our God is righteous. God does righteousness. God is holy. God is righteous. We are supposed to be righteous and holy. That's what we're supposed to be. Do what is right. Do what is right. According to what God says, do what is right. And matter of fact, even if you don't have a commandment for it, God will show you what is right. He'll show you how to. That's what they loved about Solomon. He could differentiate what was right and what was wrong. Regardless of what happened, he could always determine what was right and what was wrong. Remember the lady who the two women who claimed the one child because one of the lady's child died at night. And so the other, they were both claiming that this one child, because they both had children, they were claiming that the one child was both of theirs. And Solomon said, okay, well, I'll fix it. Bring me the child and we're going to cut him in half. And so by him saying that, the mother who wasn't his mother, she was glad. Yeah, cut him in half. Let's go. Let's cut him in half. But the woman that was his mother was said, no. She can have him. She can have him. Just don't kill him. She can have him. Don't kill a child. Don't kill the child. And by that, Solomon knew who the mother was. the one who wanted to save his life. That was his mother. The one who didn't want to save his life was the one who already lost her child. We are supposed to be at least that. We're supposed to be able to differentiate what is righteousness and what is unrighteousness. But if we're in unrighteousness, it's going to be hard for us to distinguish the difference between what is righteous and what is unrighteous, what is holy and what is unholy. We'll do anything for a dollar. We'll go any place for a dollar. We'll say anything for a dollar. We'll vote any kind of way for a dollar. But if you can't distinguish what is right from what is wrong, you're still a sinner. If you can't distinguish what is holy from what is unholy, you're still a sinner. And so in church, instead of the pastor, who is the gift, making sure the people know the difference between what is holy and unholy, what is righteous and unrighteous, they spend most of their time in fundraisers, or they spend most of their time trying to raise money for the church because they have gotten themselves out there and they're trying to pay for this thing. I mean, a lot of preachers start out with a good heart. They really do. They start out with, you know, wanting to do the right thing. But some kind of way, over time, stress and the people not listening, the people not growing, they change. They change. But if they were taught of God, it'd be a lot easier for them because they would know, just like I know. I can talk till I'm blue in the face. They're not going to hear me. That's why I'm smarter than most people, because God helps me. If God didn't help me, I'll be just as dumb as most people. But if God is helping me, if God helps you, then you're smart. But if God don't help you, you don't know what to do, and neither do I. God shows me these things. People would always say, oh, you need to go out and get a church. You need to get a church. Brother Nard, you get a church, I'll follow. You get a church, you get a church, you get a church. I don't want no church. No, sir. No, no, no. If I pastor someplace, God will put me there. And then I have no choice but to do it. But because I know that people don't listen to God, it makes me really, really think about where I go to speak to people. It really makes me rethink how I go to speak to people. I don't just go to churches. I don't do that anymore. I don't just go and be there and talk. No. No. If you want to hear me, you go on over to Podbean and look up my different broadcast. The broadcast is going to tell you the same thing. Look up the broadcast. See if you understand that. If you understand that, then we can talk. But if you don't understand that, it's a waste of time for me to be sitting up there trying to get people to understand what I'm saying, because they won't understand what I'm saying, because it's all about what God has to say. And if God don't open their ears and their eyes so that they can hear, they're never going to understand. And because I understand that, I don't get excited. I don't lose faith. I don't get discouraged. I don't get discouraged. And that's what happens to most preachers. They start off good, but because the people don't grow as fast as they think that they should grow, they get discouraged. And I totally understand it. But if you follow what God says and be a gift and let God teach you, He'll show you what to teach the people, because you have to equip them.
Thanks for listening to Be Holy with your host, Leonardo Butler. Join the discussion on Facebook at Be Holy Broadcast. Our Be Holy podcast is at Podbean, or contact us at beholy116@gmail.com or 614-268-7757. Thanks for listening to Be Holy with your host, Leonardo Butler. Tune in next week.
Be Holy.